My name is Zach Como, and you're listening to the My Tech Decisions Podcast. My Tech Decisions Podcast. Like I said, my name is Zach, and I am your host. Hybrid work is, of course, the buzzword in the tech industry, as industry giants continue to position themselves as a provider of solutions for this increasingly dispersed workforce. However, organizations now have to think more long-term, since more and more research is showing that employees don't want to go back to the way things were when everyone was in the office from 9 to 5 every single weekday. To talk about this is David Danto, the Director of UC Strategy and Research at hardware provider Poly. According to Danto, hybrid work is a lot more simple than we're making it out to be, and organizations have to invest in technology that makes workers feel more comfortable working wherever they want. Before we get to David, here's a quick reminder that the My Tech Decisions podcast is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Download and subscribe to hear weekly interviews with technology experts that can help you make the right decisions for your organization. And now, here's David Danto.
David, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Anytime for virtual integrator, always a pleasure.
Yeah, so we're talking about the future of hybrid work, and what I'm interested in is how to do that well. I know hybrid work is a buzzword everyone likes to throw around right now, especially with offices starting to, at least thinking about bringing some employees back to the office. So how do you do that? What tech do you need, and how do you future-proof your hybrid work model?
Well, we need to take just a minute or so before we get into that detail to understand why it's happening and what the difference now is. It took this global pandemic for us to prove out that what we've been saying for, two decades about remote working and hybrid working is actually true. People are more productive. People aren't lazy. And, all the scapegoating we did over the years just turned out to be untrue. We were more productive in this environment and to the point where fatigue we're hearing about all the time. So what's happened for the first time ever is that companies have now started shedding real estate. The leases are showing up in New York City and San Francisco and Houston, all the major metropolitan areas where they're realizing they don't need as much office space. So this becomes the first time in history, or at least in the history of unified communication, I guess, that remote working and hybrid working isn't just tolerated. It's now a corporate strategy. There isn't enough room left available for people to go back to the office the way the office was. So what that means from a technology standpoint and from a design standpoint is that the offices are going to change, the purpose of the office is going to change, and these remote working, these home working environments are going to change. We're going to stop using toys and start using more professional gear. And I'll answer your question and get into all those details in a second, but I think that background is really important. It's not like everybody's waiting for us to go back to normal. Normal has changed. It was changing before the pandemic, and the pandemic just was the accelerant that moved it along at an incredible pace.
Right. What do you mean by stop using toys and start using more professional devices? What's the difference there?
Well, think about what companies used to do for home workers. I mean, we went through phases during the pandemic of, everybody go home and stay home and use whatever you have. So we pick up some loose earbuds we happen to have around, or, whatever our Bluetooth things were that, our consumer items, a tablet. And we thought we'd be there for a day or a week or a month, and it turned into 3 months and 5 months and now a year, as you know. People started saying, no, wait, I really need something that's going to give me a little bit more professional experience, both what I see and what the other end sees. I need lighting that works. I need a high-quality camera, not the stuff that's just built into my computer. I need headsets that cancel noise and make me sound good, or speaker devices that do that. So we went through those phases to the point where, okay, first it was, you know, grab what you have. Then, all right, well, here's a stipend. You know, I'm the big daddy or the big mommy at the company. Here's $100. Go buy your headset. Go buy your camera. Go get whatever you need. Now we're at the point where it's like, no, I don't want to keep spending that money if I'm a company. I have a fleet of gear of in my ecosystem in my office that I track and manage and that I understand, and I want to do the same thing for the people at home. I want to make sure that they've got equipment, that I can always see it, that I can inventory it, that I can make sure it's got the latest firmware, that it's got the right bandwidth, and that at least I have some view into that. So these the latest generation of professional, personal products that are coming out on the market give you those abilities. They're not any more expensive than any other webcam or any other, you know, integrated device for home use, but now they connect into a desktop application, and that desktop application connects to the cloud, and the IT manager can now see all of his on-campus technology and all his off-campus technology in the same view. It's a complete revolution on how we're going to look at these home offices as part of the fleet of the video ecosystem.
So beyond, you know, like you said, kind of bringing that fleet of devices to the workplace, you know, how do you future-proof hybrid work?
Well, one of the things you need to understand is that there are different personalities of workers. At multiple organizations, there are people who like using certain technology. There are people who don't like it. I mean, as an example, you know, I work with a lot of end users at Poly, and if I start a conversation, which I try and avoid as much as possible, about asking which is your favorite headset, which is our best headset, you know, they'll almost come to blows arguing that somebody likes one that's really over the ears and has stereo, and somebody likes a light one over 1 year, and somebody wants one around their neck, and somebody doesn't want one at all. They want one of the speakerphones. So a lot of it has to do with how you personally conduct your business. And you have to be able to build a selection of all of these devices and make them available as choices to your end users so that you know they'll be able to pick the one that meets their needs but still be within, you know, the compliance you need for the technology and the quality. That's one of the ways that you do it. You also make sure that these devices are compatible, natively compatible with most of the large platforms, with, you know, Zoom or Microsoft Teams or any of the other ones that are out there. You always want to make sure that you have that certification, that native capability, because that's very important to understand. As you're upgrading a software changes, it future-proofs the technology that you're buying to make sure that it will always work with those platforms as long as you take that extra effort for that certification.
So yeah, so you guys, Logitech, and a whole bunch of other, you know, not just hardware providers, but software providers, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, Google Meet, et cetera, are all really, I think, stepping up to the challenge and really trying to address some of these, you know, remote hybrid work issues. So what new or emerging tech are you guys and, you know, the industry itself, you know, really excited about?
Well, I'm very excited about, as I told you, the ability to monitor at-home equipment as easily as monitoring on-campus equipment. I think that's going to be a major change. I'm very excited about the artificial intelligence and machine learning that we put in our office solutions and in our home solutions. I'm using, I don't know how much you want me to talk about our own gear on this, but I'm trying to stay agnostic, but I'm using one of our latest cameras, you know, Poly P15 speaker bar. The P15 is an awesome device. You sound great. I sound pretty good to you, I think. If there's any kind of noise like crinkling or rapping, I mean, here, I'll grab a... It should be able to filter that out if you listen to that. It's not there. I do an experiment sometimes with that, with acoustic fence, where I bring our vacuum cleaner down here, our Dyson, and I turn it on. And you can still hear me talking, even though the Dyson's going. It also uses acoustic fence technology, which means that if I come off a little bit to the side, if I'm off the frame, you won't hear it. So you won't hear the hammering outside or the dog barking or the cat screeching or anything else that's going on in the house. I think those are really important. And, you know, this is an interesting topic, and give me about a minute to explain it because I think it's actually really, you know, exciting. The pandemic, which was horrific, gave us an acceptance and an understanding that remote working works, that hybrid working works. We don't want to have to stay home. We want to be able to go and be with people, and that's the new purpose of the office, to go in and, you know, camaraderie and brainstorm and have celebrations. But we want to be able to stay home and when we don't have to go into the office. And what that did is that gave a greater acceptance to remote workers in the company and completely, you know, accidentally disabled employees, differently abled employees that have never really been accepted in the day-to-day workforce now suddenly find themselves at home using this technology, participating on an equal plane as everybody else who's at home using this technology. And it's opened up a great, a terrific case study that we're going to be publishing in the very near future. I'm recording the stuff on it on Monday, for a gentleman who works for a large pharmaceutical firm that, that has muscular dystrophy and breathes with a respirator. So every, you know, one or two sentences, he says, he has to take a breath through his respirator, and that noise is very distracting. And what we found is by giving him one of our newer devices, the camera obviously can keep the shot wherever he happens to be in his wheelchair in the shot, so he doesn't have to worry about that. And it sends his audio through, but automatically blocks out the respirator noise. And that's an amazing capability just to have in this equipment, to know the difference between voice and noise. And even when they're both happening at the same time, to only let the right one through. I think these are tremendous improvements that we've been able to bring to the technology that we're using. And again, just by happenstance during the pandemic, we've now opened up the ability for a lot more differently able people to participate.
Right. What have you guys seen from some of your end user customers that, you know, they're just not getting right about hybrid and remote work? You know, what are some common mistakes that they're making?
Well, you know, it's nobody knows when something is going to end. Yeah. You know, is it a year? Is it 2 more months? Is it 10 more months? Is it 2 more weeks? You know, I'm very thankful that, you know, I've been fully vaccinated. I'm not so thankful that I had reasons to be on the list early, but, you know, we're all going to get there at some point. There are a number of companies that have, as I said, started to shed real estate, and they realize the purpose of their office is going to be for these group meetings. The open office, the large, dense seating where people pack in, isn't really going to be necessary anymore because most of those people won't come in. You will need more collaboration gear. You'll need more collaboration rooms and brainstorming rooms and thinking spaces, and they're going to build it. So you see some companies getting ready for that, and you see some other companies saying, you know what, when this is over, everybody comes back to their office. Everybody comes back to the desk. Nothing's going to change. I completely reject all of this. And it's interesting because we went through something like this in the early 2000s when it came to the idea of casual dress in the office. I was working in financial services at the time. You know, everybody had to wear a suit and tie every day going into financial services until suddenly 3 or 4 companies didn't. And then the other ones, in order to stay in business and compete for the talent, as much as they hated not seeing people in ties, they had to allow casual dress at the office. Same thing is going to happen with this hybrid working, collaboration working. Companies are going to be prepared by equipping their people at home. More homes and apartments will have permanent fixed places for people to work. Obviously not overnight, but you're going to start to see that trend in the in advertisements. 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 2-workstation in the house or the apartment. And offices will adapt to have more of these collaboration and brainstorming rooms fully equipped to be able to work with the now larger remote staff. And the organizations that don't do that, going to have a real hard time keeping talent and recruiting talent. So I think it's inevitable. I think it's like dominoes that are falling, that we're going to see these changes happen, and companies are just going to have to be prepared to work from anywhere and be in the cloud.
Yeah. Do you think this is a big recruitment tool and workforce development tool for a lot of companies to utilize?
Oh, absolutely. I'm talking to you now from my basement office. I live in New Jersey. The reason I live here in New Jersey, it's a nice neighborhood. I like everything around here. But I've lived in New Jersey for the last few decades because I'm 40 minutes from Manhattan, from New York. I knew I'd be able to get work somewhere. When I don't need to be anywhere, I mean, my colleague Shannon, most of my colleagues are in California right now. I have some in London. I have some in Asia. I don't need to be anywhere specific. So the whole criteria of where do I want to live, that top where I can get work line disappears. It's no longer an important criteria. Now I can pick where the quality of life is what I want, or where I'm near family or religious communities, or where it's exciting and bustling and I can always go out to a club, or where it's not exciting and bustling and I can, you know, sit down and watch the grass grow. That's going to change all of our society. That's going to change where people work, where they live, what restaurants they work, retail operations that they go to, what movie theaters they go to. Everything's going to completely change because of this change in realizing that hybrid working works. It's now acceptable. You're not going to have a hybrid working barista or a hybrid working jackhammer operator. Those people are always need to be there. But when most of what you do is via communication, you know, typing at a desk, sitting in a place, we now have electronic tools and platforms and systems that really do a good job allowing you to do your work.
How do you create parity, for lack of a better word, you know, across your in-person and, you know, remote workforce? How do you make sure that everyone is on the level playing field when it comes to technology?
That's the question, isn't it? Part of it is the production rules that you put into the collaboration equipment, which makes sure that instead of what we used to see, which is now in a long table very far away in a room and you can't see faces, now it's able to give me a screen or a split screen or follow me as I walk around the room or follow the teacher as she walks from the blackboard to the whiteboard to anything else that's going on in the room. So part of it is the technology capability. You know, document sharing, a whiteboarding, some of the other collaboration pieces, it's still in its infancy and it's being worked on. We've got some solutions. Other people have some solutions. The market's growing, but certainly production rules and machine learning have made it to the point where we're now able to see faces and expressions and hear people in a way that we never could do that before. I mean, you guys must have been in meetings. I know I'm older than both of you combined, but you guys must have been in meetings that everybody in the room will have talked. And then somebody says, all right, everybody be quiet. Let's hear from the people that aren't in the room. We've got to give them a chance to talk. That's not acceptable anymore. Everybody participating is going to have to participate on an equal basis. And again, what I said before, what our CEO, Dave Schull, said at Enterprise Connect, these changes were already happening. The pandemic didn't cause it. The pandemic just sped it up. And now companies like ours and others are really trying to make the technology and the platforms to enable this new future of work.
So, like I said before, hybrid work is, you know, the buzzword in tech right now. You know, how do you make sure that you don't overinvest? And, you know, how do you make sure that you don't run the risk of moving, you know, too much into, you know, remote work if it's not as adopted as we think it's going to be?
Well, the concept of hybrid working is actually more simple than we're making it out to be. The concept of hybrid working is you physically need to be where you physically need to be. And it's really that simple.
Right.
Today, I'm speaking with you. Would have loved to have gone to lunch with you, you know, have Shannon join us, really enjoy a meal. But we honestly didn't need to do that. I didn't need to be in the same building with you or the same city or the same country because the technology worked. When I'm not online with you, I have to type some articles. I have some things that are due, some blogs that I'm writing. I didn't need to spend an hour commuting to an office to be typing those blogs. I'm able to do that from where I need to be. Now, sometimes I need to be visiting a client. That client may be in another city or another state or another country. So I need to be functional on my mobile device while I'm moving and with headphones that work really well in a car or on a plane or wherever I am. And I need to be functional while I'm in that remote office. Sometimes I'm going to my office to do a demonstration because I can't do that from here. Sometimes I'm going to a trade show. I pray I will be going to a trade show. I look forward to seeing you at Infocom or Enterprise Connect or whichever ones you do. Oddly enough, just yesterday I was chatting with some influencers online. You know, we just booked our CES hotel reservations for January 22. So, you know, we're all hopeful that we're going to get together and be humans again. But the point is, hybrid working doesn't mean I have to be home or have to be at the office. Hybrid working is I can be wherever I'm productive. And part of that will be in an office with colleagues, and part of that will be home, part of that will be traveling. So there is no really wrong way to do it. Right. Obviously, you've got to get the mechanics right around hoteling and selecting desks and making sure you've got a working platform and that you pick technology that doesn't lock you in. That, you know, if you want to use one provider one day and another provider another day, you don't want to pick one technology that can't do that. You want to pick something that gives you flexibility. And I believe a lot of the Polygear does that. But I don't think there's any mistake in making sure that we're more equipped to be able to do this.
Yeah, I, for one, am very tired of waking up and, you know, eating breakfast and going, you know, upstairs to work all day, every day, and then rinse, repeat. I need to get out of here and see people again. But, you know, I do definitely understand exactly what you're saying and that, you know, this is, you know, probably saving companies a lot of real estate costs in the long run. And it's, you know, convenient. At first, I really kind of enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I'm wearing pants for the first time in a couple of days.
Yeah, mine, but okay.
Yeah. You're welcome. For your guys' sake. So I think that, you know, initially, once you know everyone kind of gets it all clear to go back, I think initially there will be more people that go back than more people that stay. But I think, you know, I think people, you know, do understand the value of, you know, remote and hybrid work. And I think that over the long run, it is definitely here to stay. But, you know, do you see that, you know, initially people might kind of rush back to the office?
Nobody wants to do something they have to do. You know, if you put up a big billboard outside that says "Do not blank," that's the first thing they're going to want to try and do, or figure out why you're not allowed to do it. So that's human nature. Nobody wants to be working remotely because they have to be working remotely. And in all fairness, nobody was really prepared for this. Even though if you look, I can send you a link if you're interested. I have a blog that predicted just about this very specific scenario in 2014, saying companies needed to get their act together because this is coming. So yeah, some of us actually did predict it. I didn't know it was going to go on for a year, but we predicted the need to go home on a dime. I think people will want to get out more so the people that weren't prepared to be at home. I'm talking to you from my home office, which is in my basement in New Jersey, where I've been working remotely for a little over 2 decades now. In my mind, and this is really actually an important point, in my mind, when I go down here, I'm at work. Now, when I'm upstairs, if I'm cooking dinner, if I'm watching TV, if I'm doing something else, and I get a message on my mobile from Shannon or somebody, and, you know, keep in mind, I'm in New Jersey, she's in California, it's 3 hours apart from us. My colleagues in London are 4 or 5 hours apart, 4 right now, 5 when daylight savings time gets equal again. I'm going to answer the message. I'm going to say, hey, I have that, sure, I'll send it to you, or I don't do whatever. You know, I'll be responsive as a friend, but I'm not working. When I'm here, the cats know I'm working. My kids know I'm working. My wife knows I'm working. They know I'm at work because I have a place to go. Not everybody has that luxury. Some people are at their kitchen table. Some people are in a bedroom. And we're giving them equipment to help them get by. But the reality is, for this hybrid working thing to really work, people are going to need a place to go mentally to work. And then what we're going to discover is how it develops from work-life balance, which we've always talked about and never hit, to what a number of analysts and I call work-life blend. Because there's absolutely no reason in the world why, when we're done with this call, if I'm done with my work, I can't go watch a movie or go to the grocery store and buy food, because my work is done and I'm being judged by my boss, by my output and my productivity, not by clock hours. The management by walking around goes away. It becomes management by calling around. So I think you're going to see more and more of that take its equal balance. And some people will always want to be in an office, but I think you'll see, you know, we've got some great research, which I'm sure Shannon will send you from IDC, talking about where we think the numbers are. We've got some great research from Erwin Lazar and Robin Garris at Metrigy that I think is coming out on Monday that we'd be more than happy to send you, that's saying companies are really preparing for this hybrid working future in a way that's never happened before.
I'll just get some interesting data from LogMeIn. I think they actually did a study with IDC that they looked at, you know, where meetings were being taken, and they found that, you know, a pretty sizable decrease from, you know, major cities like Boston, San Fran, Chicago, et cetera. You know, are you hearing any of that from your customers?
A decrease in the amount of office space, or a decrease in the
number? A decrease in the amount of video meetings taken from those big cities. So it suggests that people are moving out of those big cities.
Yes, no, absolutely. That goes back to that. And again, I can share with you the Enterprise Connect deck if you want to see some of the slides to go along with this. But that's one of the key factors, is that I believe people will choose to live based on other criteria. I've heard from senior executives at financial service firms that went to their, you know, their Florida houses and said, you know, equip me, give me flat panels. I'm not coming back. I don't need to come back. I've been working for Poly now. I'm just a little bit past my 2-year anniversary here, and I've done a lot of things in the industry. You guys know that. But here at Poly, I'm 100% a remote worker. I was hired that way. I'm going to stay that way. So there's, in many cases, there's no reason. I see my colleagues, plus or minus a pandemic, at events and clients more than I see them in an office. And I was going to our whole headquarters office, I don't know, 3 times a year, 4 times a year, 5 times a year. Will I go the same amount once we can travel again? Maybe. Probably cut down on less. And then why do I need to live where there's an income tax when I can move to a state that has more real estate, better housing, and there isn't an income tax? It's definitely changing. And I think the big cities are going to change with it. Have you ever been to Toronto?
I've not, no.
In Toronto, if you ever visit, and I haven't been there in a year, but with the pandemic, but prior to that, huge high-rises going up all around town. The whole town's under construction with these big buildings, and they're all condos. They're all where places where people are going to be able to live, right in the heart of the city. I think a lot of this real estate is going to be redeveloped into other purposes.
Right. So I think some of the reason why I need to get out of here and go back to the office is because I have not – so I slapped a desk and a couple monitors and, you know, a couple headsets, a webcam. But other than that, my office is pretty bare bones. Not really any decorations. I got boxes of stuff everywhere and just – you know, we moved in here a little bit under a year ago, and the office was kind of the last thing I furnished, you know. We moved at end of May, so we kind of in the middle of the scary period, you know, early on. And, you know, I guess I haven't fully bought in. So, convince me. How do I make this office my forever office?
From a technology standpoint, you need to make sure that you have a comfort level with the audio you're using, whether it's headsets or a speaker bar like this. From you need to have lighting. People always tell me how great my camera looks, and you know, no matter what camera I'm using right now, I happen to be using a camera that looks great, a brand new camera. But it's mostly the lighting. You know, if I were to shut off or block the lighting, you wouldn't be able to see, you know, how well it is. Part of it is also understanding the technology. If I were looking at you, this is what it looks like when I'm looking at you. It doesn't look like I'm looking at you. Part of me is trained to understand that if you really want to have a good eye contact with me, I got to stare at the camera every once in a while.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to.
And you know, if I switch to a, let me see if I have them here, just a second. You know, these are my old work glasses, actually two generations ago. You can see the difference, right? You see all the monitors and the light, yeah. The glare and everything, you know, by spending an extra, you know, $50-$60 on glasses that don't do that, you know, all of a sudden there's no glare and people. So there are little tricks like that. I also, you know, I'm lucky. I work for a company that gets me a lot of gear if I need it. So if I want to grab a headset that has, you know, acoustic fans to demonstrate it or a wireless headset to walk around the room, or if I want to stand up for a while, you know, like I don't want to be sitting all day. I want to have a standing desk. I don't have tracking on this camera right now, but I could turn it on. And I could move around and work with it. So I think part of it is making sure you're comfortable with your technology, your eye line, your posture, you have everything you need. I just added a third display because I didn't have enough desk real estate to be presenting and doing everything. So I now have three displays plus another PC, plus a little display up over here, which I can't show you, that's got a camera out my front of my house so I can see if it's snowing or raining or if the cars are out there. So I don't feel like I'm so stuck in the basement. Little tricks like that. And then part of it is also what platform are you using to collaborate with your colleagues? Are you using Microsoft Teams or Zoom chat or Slack or any of the other ones? Because I need to be able to like type little notes. Like I've been typing little notes to Shannon throughout this conversation. She hasn't answered any of them, but you know, sometimes I have this back channel going because you need to be able to have that kind of relationship with your team. And part of it is also we've learned during the pandemic that top-down company culture works beautifully on this technology. CEO, managing director comes on and says, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing, all the rest of this. Everybody hears it, understands it, 10,000 people on a town hall, it's great. But understanding what your buddy did at the game last week or how their kids are or what's going on in your life, that's not organic. You actually have to fight to put that in. You have to have people that are setting it up and putting it forward. We started on our teams in our group, we started a camaraderie channel. And you had half the people said, you know what, another channel, I'm not bothering with it, I don't care. But some of the other people, you know, like to see the pictures of the meme we found that day or the cute, funny slogan or you know, this is, I just got my vaccine or things like that. And, you know, that's the stuff you have to work at. You put all that together, the technology, the right technology, the ability for IT to manage it, the ability for it to work seamlessly in office and at home, and the right platform around it, and no user lock-in. So if you want to change that platform next week, you can. You put all that together, you know, you got it for 80% of the time. The rest is just, do you want to have a cute background with a Pac-Man clock and the Mandalorian and Grogu, or do you want to put up a virtual background and have somebody skiing or playing tennis behind you? The rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And this is a real background behind you.
That's real.
Actually, you got a lot of stuff back there.
The history of it in 10 seconds is that I've been in this business for so long that you needed to demonstrate video conferencing. So I had a video conferencing device on my desk, and there needed to be kinetic things there so people could call at any time and see the clock moving or the Pac-Man going or anything else. And I just collected, you know, items, pop culture items over the years, and the Underdog's been with me my whole career. And this is a total failure. I wanted to be able to talk about the coronavirus and have something that I could hold. And then I got this cute little thing, and it's like, you know what? No, there's nothing about this that's cute. I can't use this. No. So yeah, it's but you know, I can do demos of our products and you know, how gorgeous they are and all the cool stuff.
Awesome. All right, well, very good. David, thanks very much. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the My Tech Decisions podcast, where it's our mission to help you make technology decisions for your company. If you would like to learn more, head to mytechdecisions.com or follow us on Twitter at mytechdecisions. You can also follow me on Twitter at ZWComo. Until next time.